about vibes?
The mood.
The mood.
The mood.
The mood.
The mood.
The mood.
With me.
Tune in every Wednesday from 10 until 11 a.m. while I explore themes, atmospheres, or moods across genres and decades. Whether I'm scoring a scene or doing a genre deep dive, there'll be something for everyone.
I'll give you another tune to help your appetite.
The mood with me.
I'm radio.
C-F-I-C.
The best radio station we've ever heard.
Okay, we're here on CFRC 11.9 FM, CFRC Live Sessions. I'm your host, Rue, and I'm joined today at last by the full Evan Jackson Band. Hello, guys.
I feel like it's one of those things where someone's like, oh, my girlfriend goes to another school. She's real, I promise. Every time I come here, I'm like, my band is real, I promise.
Yeah.
And here they are, so feast your eyes.
They've materialized out of thin air.
Yes.
I mean, the last time we spoke, you'd come in and you did like a little solo set, promising that the band was real, and you opened for the Sadies with the full band. So how was that show?
It was awesome. Listening to clips back of it too, it was really good sound at the Broom that night, which is super nice to hear crowd footage that actually sounds like half decent. So it was exciting, and obviously exciting to work with legends like that and just see how like a well-oiled machine they like, you know, set up in 10 minutes, sound check like immediately. And it was definitely a key experience for me.
How was the crowd?
It was awesome. It kind of built up through our set for sure. And it was nice to see some friendly faces. You know, at the Broom, there's like that awkward first 3 meters in front of you where everyone's afraid to like the danger zone.
The empty pit.
Exactly. So I was like, come on, guys, get it closer. And eventually it worked and they got closer. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you need one dancey song and then people go crazy.
You know what? Like the Broom sometimes, because it's all ages, they'll have like a kid that's like some sound guy's kid that'll just be like dancing to your music right in the front. That is like the ultimate icebreaker, I feel.
Totally. But we've come here today to talk about what's coming up next for you guys. So there is an album in the works, as we've been talking about for a little while, but it's finally been announced. Tell me a little bit about it, because you just dropped the socials, like the cover art for it and everything on your socials today as we're recording this, which is a little bit before you'll be hearing it. But it looked really intriguing, like with the little letter and like the sort of reach out kind of thing. Very classical.
Yeah, we went back and forth on some different like cover art ideas, and one was me sitting like this with a newspaper that was on fire. And anyways, like we tried some different things, trying to go with that paper, like piece paper pleasure imagery, which is a lyric that is in the second track, I believe, on the record, that I kind of just like really enunciate piece paper pleasure in a row. So I thought that was kind of a cool image to go with, and then played around with some rock paper scissors stuff and painted my whole arm red and black like undertone, and then red in order to get that like scary like crackly devil skin look. And then I guess I'm now a hand model, and I just got the red off like 2 days ago, and that was like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago we shot it now. So yeah, it was commitment to the bit for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
and fresh off the photo shoot as well.
Yeah.
So remind us of the album name again.
The album's called Piece Paper Pleasure.
Mm-hmm. And it's coming out?
It's coming out on April 5th.
Okay.
No, April 4th.
April
4th.
And the day's creeping up on you.
I know. It's like, March goes by. Well, February is like a blink, and then and then March is really fast too. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, like we've been hearing about the album for a little while. It's your debut album as well. So like, you know, special moment for you guys and the whole band, right? Because this has been in the works for a little while.
Yeah, it's a real process, like slugging through it yourself and like getting it all done in the studio, and you know, like all of the sending back and forth. And like I've said before in interviews, like I like to make sure that I'm really happy with how it sounds before it goes out, and I'm ready to release it and be proud of it at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like fine-tuning it again and again in the studio.
Yeah.
And like from what I'm hearing, we've heard a couple of the tracks already. The first track you're going to be playing for us, It's Not You, is already out. I'm hearing, like, based on what you played today at least, a lot of different influences on the album. Like there's definitely some kind of psychedelic rock in there, some real classic rock vibes too, a bit of a country twang, some kind of folky narrative indie stuff as well. Like there's a lot going on in there.
This is like echoing my entire like struggle promoting any of my music. I'm like filling out, because you know, like everything, like Spotify playlists or radio stations are like, what genre are you? You can only choose one. And I'm like, okay, like alternative, so like alt country, indie folk, like it feels. And then my producer through the whole record was like, this sounds like Oasis. And I was like, so that just adds a whole other like element into it. But I'm still looking for that. You know what? I think there is a cohesion to it, even though it's all over the place. And I think it all comes from being written around the same period of my life. So yeah, I'm still looking for that audience who gets me and gets my writing. But yeah, I think if you get it, you get it.
I think once people have the full body of work as well, it'll make sense together, right? Yeah. Like, there's always something special about those albums that click as a unit, and you're like, okay, in the grand scheme of this album, everything makes sense.
Yeah, and I like this kind of like moments of like respite in it. Like, it can get really big, and then it'll dial back down to something really meaningful. Like, there's one song that I wrote at Blue Skies, and it's like a really feely one, and it comes like right after a super loud moment, and it's kind of just like you're walking through the woods and then you see a clearing, and then maybe you're going back into the woods and falling down a well in the last song on the record. But yeah, it's a journey at least.
So you're thinking about how the album paces itself as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And now we're gonna go into your first song. It is out, we've talked about it a little bit, but because this is a different show, let's tell people a little bit about it.
This song's called It's Not You. It was written in a kind of like, it started as a writing exercise of me just journaling furiously and thinking about like frustration and resentment against other people and other, you know, situations. And then as the song developed, this like imagery kept coming up of me like looking in a mirror. And then I realized that it was kind of me processing a lot of like resentment I actually had with myself. So it was kind of in a way a little bit healing to go like, you know, that Spider-Man meme where there's like three different Spider-Mans pointing. I was like, oh, I'm Spider-Man in this situation. So yeah, it's called It's Not You.
Okay, let's hear it right now.
It's not you, it's the thing that you said. It's the fire you left at the side of the bed. It's not you, it's the face that you make. Looking so unafraid, leaving nothing to stay. It's not you, it's not you, it's not all about you. Hasn't been, never was from the start. It's not you, it's not you, it's not just about you. In the end, you're the muse, not the art. Fight my own fight.
never really treated you that right. And it's been a long day and a long good night. And I catch myself making a mess of it all sometimes. But when you look at me and try to tell me nothing's changed, and I just gone bad, try to shift the blame. Staring at me, staring at the frame. What a shame, cause it's not you, it's not you, it's not you.
Heard It's Not You
by Evan Jackson.
We're here live on CFRC 101.9 FM. You're listening to the CFRC Live Sessions. I'm your host Rue, and we're here with the Evan Jackson Band, the full band at last. But Evan, you're a really busy guy. You're also in the Sugar Pills. You've been sort of like making music here and there.
Yeah.
Love that. You've got the big sticker. So how different, like, because you guys have been in the studio, recorded a few tracks for Sugar Pills as well. How different is it like doing your solo stuff?
Oh, that's a really good question. The way my writing has changed even over the past year, like in collaboration with these guys, is totally different than previously. So in Sugar Pills, it's, well, also because we're like at a distance from each other, right? Because Sid lives in Ottawa, so it's a lot of sending back and forth. It's still a lot of sending voice memos in group chats with us, but it's kind of, it starts with lyrics or melody, vocals, and then sometimes like a little basic acoustic guitar thing going along. And then the next thing I'll do is usually send it to Jord, and then he'll kind of decide the guitar tone for the song. And then, I don't know, these guys do their magic. Like, what do you guys do, rhythm section?
We're putting you guys on the spot.
They just wing it. They just wing it, yeah. Yeah, so and then it comes together, and we don't usually do a big edit once the song is kind of done. It just is like filling out, like deciding when it needs to go back to the verse and just cleaning it up, really, I'd say. But we kind of just try to leave it, and then it's like, if you got a better idea, it's going to go into the next song.
Yeah. Except for the final track on the album. We did a big edit on that one.
Oh, yeah, with the toots, toots, toots. Yeah, you'll know what I mean on the 4th of April, but it goes down a big rabbit hole, that one. It's super fun. I'm really, really excited for you guys to hear that. There's a few on the album that I'm just, like, so pumped to get out there, but that's one of them for sure.
Yeah, we've been hearing about that last track, so I'm really curious to, like, hear what the big, like, psychedelic moment really is.
It's so self-indulgent, like, releasing a song that's, you know, like 5 minutes plus in today's age of like, you know, minute and 39 second songs that are TikTok audios. But I was like, yeah, we have to do it. Like, it's just inevitable. I can't stop writing it. So
yeah, I mean, once you've gone over 30, you're kind of outside the TikTok zone anyway, so you may as well.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You may as well keep going with it.
Do you guys do a lot of the socials and stuff then? Like, are you on TikTok?
I was actually during the beginning of the pandemic, and I was getting like decent traction back then. And then all I was doing was scrolling through TikTok and listening to other music artists. And I was like, you know what? I'm not like really creating right now. So I deleted the app and I wrote a lot of this record actually. Like that's kind of the point where I started writing this. Mm-hmm. And then just never downloaded it again. But I'm obviously stuck in the constant social media trap of posting to Instagram. I have a lot of fun with the design part of it. I love all the visuals, and I'm like really fortunate to have, like, Liam does a lot of the visuals too, as with Sugar Pills, and Liam's sister as well does a lot of that in like merch design and stuff. So I'm really grateful to have a team that helps me, because it is more than a one man job, that's for sure, running a social media anything.
Yeah. And I mean, for the album as well, just coming back to, we were talking about like recording it and stuff. You'd mentioned when we spoke for Indie Wake Up Call that there are also a couple of strings and stuff in there, which is always like a big moment for the bands, right?
Yeah.
So like, how did that kind of factor in? When did you decide songs need strings too?
Well, for Coal Mine, which you're going to hear at the end of this set, it was a natural progression. I actually went into that with that one Lana Del Rey record as like, this is kind of the sonic space where I want to take the song. And then, of course, it totally never went in that, like, that's what ends up happening, but it ends up going somewhere special anyways. But when we recorded the album at Port William Sound, which is in Mountain Grove, Jonas Bonetta is the producer, and he loves like Mellotron, and he's got all these really cool old synths that I wanted to buy off of him for Sugar Pills, but they're still there. And like this, he's got this Triton that's so cool. But anyways, he's so inclined to just add and layer on stuff like that. And he really knew the soundscape with that material, like that song, Coal Mine. It just, he knew what he was doing, especially with throwing the strings on that thing.
I can hear a bit of Lana Del Rey, especially on your first song, It's Not You.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, there's a bit of that in there for sure.
I like that dark kind of like ethereal pop.
Yeah, that's stuff. Slightly kind of sad and melancholic, like indie pop, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
add a new genre stuff. To the list. That's cool. Yeah.
There's another one in there for fans of Lana Del Rey. Okay, so we're going to hear your second song.
This one's Nixon. Okay. This is from the first EP that I did, and I'm still really proud of the song. Hope you like it.
I know I've never looked like this before. Myself a mask that looks like Nixon from the Family Dollar Store. An old brown wig and a broken mouth. And if I'm getting tired, at least I'm not alone. Like this before. Bought myself a mask that looks like Nixon from the Family Dollar Store. No brown wig and a broken microphone. And if I'm getting tired, at least I'm not alone. Said if I sure that I know I've never looked like this before. Bought myself a mask that looks like Nixon from Family Dollar Store. An old brown wig and a broken microphone. And if I'm getting tired, at least I'm not alone. Said I'm not alone. Game, I'm not fighting for the right, I'm just fighting for that night. Me and Nixon, we are so strange in some ways. He's a hell of a faker, I'm a hell of a fake. I'm not fighting for the right, I'm just fighting for that night. I'm not fighting for the right, I'm just fighting for that night.
You just heard the song Nixon by Evan Jackson.
Here we are on T4C Live Sessions one last time with the Evan Jackson band. And you guys have the album coming out. We've talked about this Peace Paper Pleasure, right?
That's the one.
That's coming out on the 4th of April. And you've obviously got stuff planned for it.
Yeah, so we're kicking off the album release with a release party the next day at the Grad Club. So excited to play there because I just love the big red velvet curtains behind the stage.
Sure.
It's very like David Lynch, and that's everything I wanted for the show is like, give me red velvet curtains. And I got them, so I'm really pumped. Yeah.
Given all the time you spent painting up your arm for the album cover.
Yeah, and I'm really lucky to be joined by Jess Woolowich, and she's got a backing band for this gig too. And
okay.
She actually recorded, at least I know a few of her new songs at the same studio at Port William Sound that I did. So sonically, I think it's going to blend pretty well that way too.
Mm-hmm. And the Grad also has a little bit more of that like energy going on, where the Broom, like you were saying, sometimes it can be a bit spaced out.
Yeah, I'm excited. Like, get right up in my face. Mm-hmm. Like, let's do it.
What can people expect for that show? Like, are you gonna sort of run through the whole album?
I think we'll do a run through, maybe with a couple interruptions, and I've got to play a few old ones that we like, and probably the covers that need to be played that were kind of crucial in designing the sound of the album. We'll probably play a few of those that mean a lot to us. But I really want to put on a good show, and I'm really focused on the visuals of it as well, and the lights and the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to get a branded drink with the bar at the Grad Club for it. So if it gets there, I'm excited, but we'll see.
I mean, peace, paper, pleasure. You could do like a peach paper pleasure or something like that.
Peace, paper, plane. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But
that too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have like a peach drink of some sort.
Yeah.
Like play on that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of something like dark and stormy. That's actually a cocktail. Isn't it? Dark and stormy. I don't know. I don't drink rum, but yeah.
And so going into the show, how is it for you guys as a band? Any like band rituals? I'm asking this one because we were saying before we should have a few fun questions too.
At least for me, no caffeine the day of, and then don't eat anything that's going to upset your stomach. It's just like, I think we've decided on sushi is like the golden thing to eat before a band.
Basically, our routines are based on like IBS. No, it's just like, I mean, it can be nerve-wracking to get on stage, but like, you never want to be playing with something really heavy, like a burger.
Yeah.
Every venue is like, here, have a burger and fries while like you're doing soundcheck, which is awesome, but first of all, your fingers get greasy.
Yeah.
It's like having wings before you play. Just imagine that. And you're like, you're playing and you're like, I can feel the burger weighing me down.
Feel the burger.
So it's sushi it is, yeah.
Yeah. Not too many drinks between sets either.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. Like, it's fun when you're the opener because you can chill after. But like, when you're the main one, you got to be like locked in. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's your big night.
It is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm excited to share it.
And the 4th of April will be your big night because the album drops, and then, of course, the 5th is the album release show. So fun times coming up for you guys. But we're airing this on the 13th of March, a Thursday. You've got a single coming out tomorrow.
I do. It's Coal Mine, and you're going to hear it now.
Yeah, tell us a bit about it.
Well, I actually started writing this song around the same time as I wrote Nixon. And like, if Nixon is like the good character, this one is like the evil kind of like split off of it. Definitely not a protagonist in this one. I just tried to like write it from the like most desperate perspective I could imagine. And I like just pictured crawling the entire time. Like, it just has a crawling and like grabbing onto someone's heels.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the line that's, I can track you for miles just by smelling your skin in the sun. Because it just like paints a pretty visceral image and could be like a serial killer biopic backtracks. But
I feel like that's the thing with a lot of songs, right? Depending on how you look at them, it can either be like really caring and really romantic or totally stalkerish.
Yeah, it's totally a perspective thing, and like maybe what kind of day you've had. Yeah. If you had your coffee and sushi or not. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so we're going to go out with this one last song. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today. Finally, the whole band, after all, right?
They're real.
Where can people follow up with you guys and like find you online, find the album and stuff?
You can find the album everywhere you listen to music on April 4th, Peace, Paper, Pleasure. My name's Evan Jackson. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Bandcamp if you want to send me money. You can find me on, what else do I have? Facebook. We got the whole meta suite, baby. yeah, that's me.
Playing around town.
Yeah.
Playing around town.
Absolutely. You'll see my name. Yeah.
Okay. We'll go out with Coal Mine. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Hey, this is Evan Jackson, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
Le Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is now on. Until March 31st, enjoy contests, performances, free film screenings, and local activities to cultivate your Francophone roots. Join in the fun and visit rvf.ca today.
Today on Wings, the story of a few senior citizens and an organization that stumbled upon them during the pandemic and stayed connected even after.
For me, it is the connection between the so-called privileged and the underprivileged. It's creating a web of connection. And older people, in economic terms, not productive people, how can they contribute to the creation of happiness for themselves and in their own homes?
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Welcome, listeners, to this edition of the Wings radio show. This is Manju Venkat with my colleague, Smita Ramanathan from Bangalore, India. Today, we bring you the voices of a few senior women from Bangalore and the members of an organization that works with them.
In India, as in the rest of the world, as life expectancy increases and fertility rates decrease, the population of the elderly is increasing. Figures of India's Ministry of Statistics put the number of elderly persons at 130 million. This is 10% of our population. In India, a majority of the workforce is in the informal sector, where workers have no regularity in wages and there is no health care or insurance. The elderly, therefore, have hardly any benefits such as pension, savings, or medical insurance. Fewer women being in the paid workforce, older women naturally have that much lower savings and access to welfare in their old age. The United Nations has declared 2020-2030 as the decade of healthy aging. Needless to say, the elderly face health issues. The India Aging Report of 2023 by the United Nations states that older women have higher chronic health issues, are more prone to depression, and both men and women have low awareness of government benefits available for the elderly. Clearly, therefore, the elderly have to be considered as a special needs group.
Several civil society organizations, known in India as non-government organizations or NGOs for short, run senior citizens' homes where the poor elderly are provided shelter and food. The government also provides a nominal pension to senior citizens who fall below the poverty line. Today, we talk to members of an NGO called Shakti that works with seniors in Bangalore, in the southern Indian state of Karnataka. Let us listen to its founder, Jacinta Kumaraswamy.
I was interested in poverty right from my PUC days. And so I took up economics.
Higher school.
And so I took up economics and then I went to Delhi School of Economics to study, you know, how poverty can be dealt with. I was very interested in socialist economics. I did a course on social research methods, which was part of an MPhil course. And as part of the assignment, I had to do a study. So I did a study of, because my area of interest was women, poor, underprivileged women. So I did a study for women in slums and their employment potential, because most of them wanted remunerative work. And so they said there's no use you doing studies. We would rather you sell all these question papers you are filling up and give us that money, that will be more useful. So I promised them that I would start something for them, provided I could get to finish my study. So I did that and started this organization called Shakti, which means primeval energy. It's pure energy, but since we are focusing on women, the association was empowering women, poor women, basically. That was in 1982. It was registered as an organization, though the study was done previously to that.
Shakti went on to work with women in Bangalore and the villages in the neighboring districts. They formed women's self-help groups, trained women in livelihoods, and supported women victims of domestic violence. The organization also gained expertise in training staff of other NGOs and government in facilitation skills, group dynamics, and gender. Work with women led to work with children too, and they established a learning center for the children of group members. This center, which currently functions in Bangalore, caters to around 80 children from the neighboring slums who come here for after-school lessons. Staff and volunteers help them with school lessons, take extra classes and workshops during vacations, and provide them a healthy, nutritious snack every day. Jacinta talks of the challenges faced by the NGO sector in India. With fewer resources for field work, Shakti now concentrates on the Children's Learning Center and a few women's self-help groups around the center.
As we were struggling to continue with our women's programs and children's education programs, COVID struck, and that threw everything in, threw out of gear, not only for us, but everybody and for the whole world also. And at this time, one had to look for support around one. There's no question of getting foreign funds or donors as such, etc. We had to just hold out to the neighbors and people whom we knew and were sympathetic. And this was a great experience, because even vendors were willing to give. We had to do some food supplies, emergency supplementary food supplies for the poor people around the slums. We're living in slums near our office. And at this point, we found that the poor people were willing to, as whom we consider not the privileged, daily wage workers. And there was no wage working going on also during that time because of the lockdown. But vendors, yes, food vendors, people selling potatoes and onions, etc., were also willing to contribute to providing supplies for the poor people.
While the pandemic disrupted many lives, it also motivated many people to help those in distress. Many organizations and individuals supplied cooked food, groceries, medicines, masks, and sanitizers to those in need. The children attending the learning center could not go to school or the center, and hence missed their midday meal at school and the evening snack at the center. Their parents could not go to work. Shakti staff would deliver groceries, masks, and sanitizers to the families of children at their houses.
And this is the time when the old people, that's how we stumbled on the senior citizens. We found that nobody was there to give masks, for example, to see. Even within the family, the masks would go to the adult, able-bodied people, working members, more than old people who were just sitting around. The redundancy factor became so apparent within families. These are difficult. People were poor and all that. But all the same, it was heartrending. It was shocking. So our program for focus and program for the aged, the elderly, when in crisis, are the first ones to be pushed out as unnecessary or a burden, came from this experience of them begging for masks.
So then Shakti's staff went looking for the very old and ill people, those living alone, too old or ill to work, those living in very poor families. They provided a monthly kit of groceries to such people. They could come to the office to collect their supplies. For those who were too frail, staff delivered it at home.
When the COVID thing was lifted, and work started, people started going to work slowly.
And the lockdown was lifted.
Lockdown was lifted, and mobility, there was transport going. Economy is slowly picking up again. The others went in, but then we found we did not want to leave the senior citizens alone. We thought these people needed special attention, just like we give for children or for domestic servants. So this was a category which required our focus, our attention, our help. And it was every time when we do work in the charity sector, they say, hey, people should be self-reliant, people should sustain themselves, they should look after themselves. You should make them. But this is not a category of people we can ask them to now sustain yourself, look after. They have spent forces. But with still with the joy of living and relating and things, nobody's redundant in society. And you can't make judgments like that. Anyway, we were not going to. We said these are very important. And for them, only a welfare approach will work. For their health, to take them. Because every time there's medicines have to be bought, low priority for these people. Taking them to the hospital, again, low priority. It's survival of the fittest, kind of.
What started with the supply of masks to seniors soon extended to a regular monthly supply of food items. This pushed up their value in the family because they were now bringing home food. Jacinta said that they provide things that the government public distribution system does not. Many of these seniors or their families hold ration cards that entitle them to a specific quantity of subsidized food grains and some other essentials every month. Often it is not enough for the entire family, though it does help. Shakti provides other essentials, things that are essential for leading a life of dignity.
We give them bath soap, we give them biscuits to have with tea in the morning, packets of biscuits, tea, sugar, oil, pulses.
Pulses are dried beans and peas.
One or two pulses at least we give. And because these don't come in the general, whatever comes in the government rations, we don't give. But because the amount is less of rice, etc., there's a lot of clamor for these things. So sometimes we give rice and we give ragi, or sometimes even wheat flour will be given.
Ragi, the millet.
Millet, yeah. Once we gave them pure coconut oil for their hair. And there's one lady who was so happy, old lady. She says, it's 20 years since I had got some oil to put on my, coconut oil to put on my hair.
This monthly supply of staples to the senior citizens led to further engagement with them. Chitra had joined Shakti to form women's self-help groups. These small groups gather periodically to make savings, give out small loans, and help members in times of difficulty. Chitra helps them keep their accounts and trains them so that they can carry out their affairs smoothly. She talks about her involvement with the seniors.
When I saw the senior citizen, every month within 10th, they are taking a ration in the home. I am only seeing and helping to packing and giving to them. Suddenly I thought only they are giving, we can have a meeting in one of a day with lunch. I asked permission with Jacinta. Okay, you start, you conduct meeting.
The monthly meetings with seniors that Chitra started in December 2022 have now become a regular feature that the senior women look forward to. Occasionally, a couple of men do attend these meetings. Most of them are in their 60s and 70s. Having led a hard knock life right from their younger days, many of them become physically very feeble by the time they hit their 60s. The women that we spoke to had similar stories of struggling to eke out a living, doing what work they can, sometimes even begging, being neglected by children, and yet looking after ill children, and so on. In all this, the monthly meetings and the hot lunch provided during the meetings is a source of joy. They eagerly wait for it every month.
On Wings, this is a documentary by Smita Ramanathan and Manju Venkat in Bangalore, India, about economically challenged elders who connect through a project called Shakti. Manju and Smita interview members of the group.
ಸ್ವಂತ ಇಲ್ಲ ಮೇಡಮ್ ಬಾಡಿಗೆ ಅಲ್ಲಿ ಇಲ್ಲಿ ಹೋದ್ರೆ ಒಂದು 50-100 ಕೊಡ್ತಾರೆ ಹಂಗೆ ದುಡ್ದು ತಿಂತಾ ಇದ್ವಿ ನಮ್ಮ ಯಜಮಾನ ಕುಡಿದ್ಬಿಟ್ಟು 10 ದಿವಸ ಕೊಡಲ್ಲ
63-year-old Alamelu lives with her unmarried daughter. She used to sell vegetables along with her husband, who was a kerosene seller. Her husband was an alcoholic and never treated her well. She cannot work now as she has undergone a surgery. Her daughter, who does some occasional tailoring, supports the family. The son lives separately with his wife and children, but does not support his mother. She lives in a ramshackle house that might crumble any moment. The son and the daughter want her to sell the house and give them their share of money, but she does not want to sell it because she will then be homeless.
ಆಸ್ತಿ ಎಲ್ಲ ಮಾರಿಕೊಂಡು ಆ ಇರೋ ಮನೆಯನ್ನ ಜಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಮಾಡ್ಕೊಂಡಿದ್ದಾರೆ. ಇವತ್ತಿನ ದಿನ ನನ್ನ ಪರಿಸ್ಥಿತಿ ಕೋರ್ಟು ಕೇಸು ದುಡಿಯೋದು ತಗೊಂಡೋಗಿ ಲಾಯರ್ಗಳಿಗೆ ಇಕ್ಕೋದು ಇದೇ ಪರಿಸ್ಥಿತಿಯಲ್ಲಿದ್ದೀನಿ.
ಐ ಪ್ರೇ ಟು ಗಾಡ್ ದಟ್ ನೋ ವುಮನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಸಫರ್ ದ ವೇ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸಫರ್ಡ್, ಸೇ 70-year-old ವಿಶಾಲಾಕ್ಷಿ. ಶಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬೀನ್ ಫೈಟಿಂಗ್ ಅ ಲೀಗಲ್ ಬ್ಯಾಟಲ್ ಫಾರ್ 13 years. ಶಿ ಈಸ್ ಎಂಬ್ರಾಯ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ 4 different ಕೋರ್ಟ್ ಕೇಸಸ್ ಅಗೇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಹರ್ ಓನ್ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ. ಹರ್ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ 1 daughter assaulted her once, injuring her seriously. After recovering, she has been eking out a living by washing vessels in a guest house. Her youngest daughter and son live with her. She has been unable to work for the past 2 months as she is looking after her alcoholic son who contracted tuberculosis. She now depends on her neighbors for food and also some food joints in her neighborhood. She still has to find money to pay the lawyer.
40 years ಆಯಿತು ಬಿಟ್ಟಿದ್ರು. ನಾನು ಒಬ್ಬಳೇ ಊರಲ್ಲಿ ಇದ್ದು ಮಗನ ಸಾಕಿ ಅವನಿಗೆ ಮದುವೆ ಮಾಡಿ ಅವನಿಗಿಬ್ಬರು ಮಕ್ಕಳು ಹೆಣ್ಣು ಹುಡುಗಿನ ಮದುವೆ ಮಾಡಿಕೊಟ್ಟಿದ್ದೀವಿ. ಗಂಡು ಹುಡುಗ ಚಿಕ್ಕದು.
75-year-old ಇಂದ್ರಾಣಿ ಅಮ್ಮ ವರ್ಕ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಅ ಡೊಮೆಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ಹೌಸ್. ಶಿ ವಾಸ್ ಡೆಸರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಹರ್ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ 40 years ಅಗೋ. ಶಿ ಬ್ರಾಟ್ ಅಪ್ ಹರ್ ಸನ್ ಆನ್ ಹರ್ ಓನ್, ಗಾಟ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಮ್ಯಾರಿಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹೀ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ 2 children. ದ ಗ್ರ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಡಾಟರ್ ಇಸ್ ಮ್ಯಾರಿಡ್ and the unmarried grandson who lives with them drives an auto rickshaw. The son is an alcoholic and is too ill to work. His wife works in an office, and between Indrani Amma, her daughter-in-law and grandson, they have to bear all family expenses including paying rent.
ಅವನಿಗೆ ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ಸುಮಾರಾಗಿ ಇದನ್ನು ಬೇಕಾದಷ್ಟು ಟ್ರೀಟ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಅದು ಕೊಡಿಸಿದೆ.
ಮಗನಿಗೆ
ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ಸುಮಾರಾಗಿದ್ದಾನೆ, ಮದುವೆ ಮಾಡಿದ್ದೀನಿ 2 ಮಕ್ಕಳು.
65-year-old ತುಲ್ಸಮ್ಮ ಇಸ್ ಅ ವಿಡೋ. ಶಿ ಗಾಟ್ ಹರ್ 3 children ಮ್ಯಾರಿಡ್. ಶಿ ವಾಸ್ ವರ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ಆಸ್ ಅನ್ ಅಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ಅ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿ ಪಾರ್ಲರ್ ಬಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬೀನ್ ಅನೇಬಲ್ ಟು ವರ್ಕ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ 6 months ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಶಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಲುಕ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಹರ್ ಸನ್ ಹೂ ಸಫರ್ಡ್ ಅ ಸ್ಟ್ರೋಕ್. ದ ಸನ್ಸ್ ವೈಫ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಲೆಫ್ಟ್ ಹಿಮ್ ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ಫೆಲ್ ಇಲ್, ಬಟ್ ತುಲ್ಸಮ್ಮ ದ ಮದರ್ ಕುಡ್ ನಾಟ್, ಸೊ ಶಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಕೇರ್ ಫಾರ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಸಿಂಗಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡೆಡ್ಲಿ. He is better now and has started selling savories, which is the family's only source of income. The monthly kit supplied by Shakti is a big help for the family.
Unko pada ko kar 11 ghanta ka kaam kar ko police station ka ja ko ek bachche ko cycle pe padhe, ek bachche ko SOT padhe, bachche ko padha to padhya nahi, apne kaam ko gaya ya kya kar.
60-year-old Feroz has 3 children. She is one of 5 wives of her husband, and she brought up her children as best as she could after her husband deserted her. All her children are now married and she lives alone. She used to work as a domestic help but is too frail to work now. She lives in a house taken on lease for which her son has paid the lease amount. She depends on her neighbors for food. She too is grateful to Shakti for the monthly supply of staples.
It is with such women that live in extremely difficult situations that Shakti works. Abhay Srivastava, a young theatre artist and yoga trainer, volunteers with Shakti. He first came to Shakti to work with the children. Abhay has a keen interest in dance movement therapy, and when he learned about Shakti's work with the seniors, he was interested in applying it to them.
You can say exposure to dance movement therapy. In India, we are also calling it as movement-based therapy instead of calling it dance therapy. And I was curious how, with that understanding and knowledge, I could contribute to the space of senior citizen. So that's how it all started. I asked them if during that once a month, when they are distributing these rations and the community is already there, and if I could also interact with that community for small duration, let's say 40-45 minutes.
Abhay then started working with Chitra during the monthly meetings of seniors, getting them to voice their feelings, emotions, and engaging them in activities such as deep breathing and some simple physical exercises. We asked him how this community responds to physical activities such as stretching and even music and dance for those who are so inclined.
Abhay says that while a few women respond to music very well and are not shy of dancing and swaying to the music, most prefer to sit and watch and enjoy the dance and music. He has been engaging with this group for nearly 6 months now. On his plans for further work with the group,
in the long run, if I stay with this population, maybe I would like them to come up with a kind of, you know, expression where we involve all the people, maybe who's right now, there are approximately 30 participants, and maybe they could go in a smaller group, and then in the end of like 10 months or 11 months, they have a small presentation, I would call it, where they're expressing their own stories together as a weaved in story, and they can use all this forms which are available. Maybe they can use music, art, they could use visual art, maybe use the space, and then we have a small showcase, you know, we call larger committees to witness their journey.
Let us hope that Shakti is indeed able to produce a show about the senior women by the senior women themselves. These meetings have become a space where women draw comfort from each other and find succor. Drawing on this, Shakti plans to organize what Chitra calls happiness classes for this set of women. Jacinta elaborates.
We are having a monthly get together and we are now focusing on be happier. How can you be happier in your own situation? And for this, we are dependent or we are guided or inspired by a Harvard training model on being joyful and happy. Tal Ben Shahar, he's the one who initiated it in Harvard, this program. And how can older people sitting at, you know, not productive actually, you know, in economic terms, not productive people, how can they contribute to the creation of happiness for themselves and in their own homes? So we are slowly initiating that. First, we have to get our own volunteers and staff trained for that. And then that kind of an input we are giving is life is, even 1 minute or one day you live, you can live, have, contribute to happiness and joy around you.
So how do you propose to, I mean, you're still to initiate it, but what are your thoughts on how to introduce a module like that for people who are not only old, but also the kind of people you work with who are in very, very difficult circumstances, you know?
You know, so give them a chance. Like when they, music, somebody is, we say anybody wants to sing, you will see one or two women jumping up and singing. If you want to dance, there are women who will get away. So it's inside them. We are not putting anything new. It's there. Give them an opportunity spontaneously and you'll find the others nodding and participating.
When Jacinta talked about happiness being inside them, I remembered Nagamma, whom we met at her house because she is an invalid and cannot come to the meetings. Shakti sends her monthly supplies home. She is a widow, but well looked after by her daughter. She talked of the deep love that the couples in her family shared. She and her late husband, her parents, her uncle and aunt, and now her daughter and son-in-law. She was keen to sing a prayer song for us.
ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದ ಗೋಲಿದನು ಆಶ ಪಾಂಡುರಂಗ ಗೋಲಿದನು ಈತ ನಂಬಂದಿ ಉಪಂಡರಿ ಪುರತೆ.
Now let us listen to the other women speak about their experiences of the monthly meetings.
ತುಂಬಾ ಇಷ್ಟ ಆಗುತ್ತೆ, ಏಕೆಂದ್ರೆ ಇಲ್ಲಿ ಬಂದ್ರೆ ಒಳ್ಳೇದು ಹೇಳ್ಕೊಡ್ತಾರೆ, ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ಎಕ್ಸೈಸ್ ಎಲ್ಲ ಮಾಡ್ತಾರೆ.
ಅಲಮೇಲು ಸೇಸ್ that she likes the meetings very much because she receives good advice from the staff. She gets some physical exercise and a hot meal.
ಏನಂದ್ರೆ ನಾನು ಎಲ್ಲೇ ಹೋದ್ರೂ ಇಲ್ಲಿ ಬರ್ತೀನಿ, ತಿಂಗಳಲ್ಲಿ ಒಂದ್ ದಿವಸ ನನಗೆ ಸಂತೋಷ ಸಿಗುತ್ತೆ ಅಮ್ಮ.
ವಿಶಾಲಾಕ್ಷಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಶಿ ಫೀಲ್ಸ್ ಅಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟೆಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆಸ್ಕ್ ಹರ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಹರ್ ವೆಲ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್. ಶಿ ಗೆಟ್ಸ್ ಮಂತ್ಲಿ ರೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಆಫೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಕ್ಲೋತ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಬೆಡ್ ಶೀಟ್ಸ್. Shakti organizes a cloth collection drive periodically where they collect used clothes and sometimes even new ones. Typically, they collect saris, sweaters and bed sheets.
ಮೀಟಿಂಗ್ ಬಂದ್ರೆ ಊಟ ಕೊಡ್ತಾರೆ, ಇಲ್ಲಿ ಮೀಟಿಂಗ್ ಕರೆದ್ರೆ ಬಂದ್ರೆ ಕೂತ್ಕೊಂಡ್ರೆ ಒಂದ್ ಗಂಟೆ ಟೈಮ್ ಕೂತ್ಕೊಂಡ್ರು ಮನೆಯದೆಲ್ಲ ಮರ್ತು ಬಿಟ್ಟು ಇಲ್ಲಿ ಆರಾಮಾಗಿ ಇರ್ತೀವಿ.
ಬೇರೆ ಇದ್ದಾರೆ ಇವನ್ಗೆ ಈ ತರ ಆದ್ಮೇಲೆ ಅವನ ಹತ್ರ ದುಡ್ಡು ಕಾಸೆಲ್ಲ ಕಿತ್ಕೊಂತಾನೆ, ಅವನಿಗೇನು ಸೌಕರ್ಯ ಮಾಡ ಮನೆಯದೇ ತುಂಬ ಸಮಸ್ಯೆ ಆಗಿದೆ.
Similarly, Tulsamma, Indraniyamma and Fairoz also say that the hot meal and the companionship of other women make the meeting an event that they look forward to every month. They forget all their worries when they come for the meeting. They are grateful for the monthly supply of staples and the clothes. They think it is better to come and spend some time here in the office at least once a month rather than sit at home all the time and worry.
Shakti also helps the women with other material needs. They help the seniors access government benefits such as pensions. There are plans to start regular health checkup camps soon. Then there are those who do not want to live with their families or are unable to pay rent. Shakti tries to place such people in shelter homes. Tain Mori, a staff member, talks about it.
Rent they cannot able to pay. Single senior citizens, they don't have ability to pay the rent. If they won't pay rent, means house owner, they won't allow. One lady like that only, she can't able to pay the rent. So she went to, told in her church, she is going to one church. They are providing rent every month for her. She will, majority of our senior citizen women, they will work also. Work means small works, 1,000 rupees. Cleaning vessels, like the small works they will get and earn, including with that, this pension.
1,000 rupees in a month.
They will pay for house rent. Like that also they are struggling.
1,000 Indian rupees is $12. Even with a state pension and some earnings, most women hardly get $30 in a month. A welfare approach is therefore inevitable, and society needs to give to make sure that everyone can lead a life of dignity. Going by the experience during the pandemic, when they raised resources in cash and kind from their own neighborhood, Jacinta feels that it is possible to create caring communities.
For me, it is the connection between the so-called privileged and the underprivileged. But connection is possible. That much I know. It's creating a web of connections between the haves and the have-nots, the privileged and the underprivileged, between that community and this community, to have a holistic community, all contributing towards joy and concern and caring and everything. So that kind of opening up and connectivity, it can happen.
Creating a web of connections, that is certainly a dream worth dreaming. Let us wish for it to come true. This is Smita Ramanathan with Manju Venkat saying goodbye from Bangalore, India. Thank you for listening.
WINGS, Women's International News Gathering Service, was co-founded by Catherine Davenport and Frieda Worden in 1986. For more about our weekly programming and extensive archives, email wings@wings.org. WINGS thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of the book Forgiving, A Feminist Criticism of Exchange, and other works on the gift economy. She hosts salons at maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wings sound logo is from Lee Bana's album, A Circle is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.